Nehemiah chapter 4 tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4. And as I mentioned, we are called to be workers and warriors. Amen. Workers and warriors. We may not like that terminology, but it is scriptural. We are in a battle. We have an enemy. He's alive and well, and he's trying to destroy us. Amen? It's sad that many will say, well, I don't really like to fight. I don't like to battle. Well, if you're saved, you are called to battle. You are called to battle. Let me get up my outline tonight. It's pretty simple. I wanted to keep it simple for the sake that we have our fellowship tonight. I don't want to keep you late. And obviously, you're good Baptists, so I want to give you plenty of time to eat. Amen. At least I got an amen out of you on that, brother. Amen. You can say amen during the preaching, too. I won't get offended, all right? Yeah, you don't have your wife next to you to nudge you and keep you awake. So pray for Brother West. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4. This is kind of an introductory message. It kind of gets us into the chapter. And actually, we're going to be dealing with the devices of Satan in the next three chapters. Probably from chapters 4 to 6. And it shows how Satan works, how he worked then, the people he used to oppose the work of God. But then, there's nothing new. He opposed the work of Christ when Christ was on earth, on the earth. He opposed the apostles. So we shouldn't think that today, okay, everything's going to go great, no problems in the work of God. We have an enemy. Let's read our text tonight. We're just going to read the first 9 verses. And that'll be our text tonight. And I think we'll be able to glean out of that what we need to learn in our message tonight. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and what? Mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbers? So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Let's pray. Father, tonight, Father, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to understand your word. Father, help us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Father, we read in the Bible about the spiritual battles, even here in the book of Nehemiah. But help us know it's a reality that we face today. Father, if anyone is trying to serve you, they will face the ridicule of Satan, the devices of Satan against them. Father, we know that to be true. So help us to learn what we need to learn maybe some simple truths, maybe some simple reminders tonight from this passage to help us stay in the fight and to be faithful workers and faithful warriors for You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a long introduction, but I think it's necessary. When things are going well, get ready for trouble. Because the enemy doesn't want to see the work of the Lord make progress. As long as the people in Jerusalem were content with their sad lot, remember, they were content with that for a long time, the enemy left them alone. But when the Jews began to serve the Lord and bring glory to God's name, the enemy became active. You see, opposition is not only an evidence that God is blessing, but it is also an opportunity for us to grow. Are you willing to grow? The difficulties that came to the work brought out the best in Nehemiah and his people. You see, truly, if we're saved, all things work together for good to them who are called of God, to them who love Him. You see, God allows trials and temptations and difficulties and burdens because He wants to bring out the best in us. Now, Satan wanted to use these problems as weapons to destroy the work, but God used them as tools to build His people. You see, chapters 4 to 6 describe at least 9 different tactics of the enemy to try and stop the work on the walls. Let me give you a rundown here. First, they attacked the Jewish people with ridicule. That's what we're seeing in these first verses. Then there was a plot of war. Remember, they were surrounding the city. This has resulted with difficulties within the ranks of the Jews. Isn't that how it is? Discouragement. Fear comes. See, the devil's sown all this. Discouragement. Fear is another tactic. Selfishness. So when the attacks on the people failed to stop the work, then the enemy started to attack their leader, Nehemiah. How did he try to do that? Well, compromise, slander, threats, intrigue. But none of these devices worked either. You see, Nehemiah was steadfast and immovable. Amen. He was a man of God that wanted to finish the work. And they did finish the work. Get this. 52 days. 52 days. Now in the New Testament, Paul, referring to Satan, says this, "For we are not ignorant of his devices." Chapter 2, verse 11 of 2 Corinthians. We should not be ignorant of the devices of Satan. Ephesians 6 speaks of the wiles, Ephesians 6, 11, the wiles of the devil. Now that word wiles is methodia. Methodia, meaning he is methodical. You know that? The devil's attacks will be methodical on you. If he doesn't get you one way, he's going to try another. 2 Timothy 2:26, Paul warns of the snare of the devil. The snare. So think about that. We have the devices, we have the wiles, and we have the snares of the devil. And the Bible tells us about the names of Satan. You add to that not only what he's going to try to do, think about his names. They indicate his personality. He's called a deceiver. He's called a liar. He's called a murderer. He's called the accuser. He's called the tempter. He's called the destroyer. He's called the evil one in the Bible. All of that ought to give us enough warning to know this. We're not talking about some mere personification of evil or some figment of the imagination. We're talking about a real enemy. Chapter 3, we learned about workers on the wall. And that's why he's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's want you to think that he still rules over you and still rules on this earth. He had his back broken, amen? He has his power destroyed. And the only way he can work tonight and through is through deception, deceit, and he's still continuing to do that. He's a liar. He's done that from the Garden of Eden all the way until Jesus comes again. So let's talk about this first device, and actually it's the message tonight, because we're not going to get any further than these first devices of Satan. It's the device of derision. And the next one we'll see is in verse 10, discouragement. But we won't get there tonight. You see, what did he use? The first tool of the devil is derision. Why? They started laughing at them. They started mocking them in verses 1 and 2. They were being belittled for what they were doing. They were being ridiculed. You know, today, as a Bible-believing Christian, you're a modern-day laughingstock. People laugh at you. You're going to see this more and more, and we have seen it on TV, sitcoms, more and more situational comedies that make Christians the butt of their jokes. But I want to ask you tonight, what did Jesus say? The servant is no better than his Lord. Brethren, if they ridiculed Christ, if they derided Christ, if they mocked him, should we expect anything less? No. Mark 5:40 says, and they laughed him to scorn. Can you imagine that? They laughed him to scorn. Speaking of Christ. So let's get this straight tonight. If you can't take the laughter, then you're not going to be a victorious Christian. If you can't take people laughing at you and mocking you and ridiculing you, you'll never be victorious. Because ridicule, see, this is one of the chief devices of Satan, because it stings, doesn't it? It has a sting to it. Some people, physical pain doesn't really affect them. Or like they're saying, you can kill me, I'll still serve Christ. But they're laughed out of the work of God. Just because someone laughs at them and mocks them and derides them, they walk away from the work of God. You're going to be laughed at and mocked on your job, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your college, in university. And so the question tonight is, what are we going to do? What's our plan? Amen. I think we can develop a plan out of this passage here in a moment. But let me show you tonight how the ridicule comes from Sanballat. Number one, he ridiculed the workers. He says in verse 2, he says, feeble Jews. What do these feeble Jews? Feeble Jews. Doesn't that kind of ring in our ears today? You know, Christians, you're just a bunch of weaklings. You know, Christians, people will stand up, you know, I don't need a crutch. I'll make it on my own. They think that saying that makes them strong. But you know what the Word of God says? When we are weak, then are we strong. Isn't that a blessing? That's God's economy. That's not of this world. Meaning, yes, we could say, yeah, you're right, I'm weak. I need the Lord. You're right, I'm weak. I can't fight Satan alone. I need Christ. You're right, I can't make it to heaven on